"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're live from 1 to 4 on the radio after 4 o'clock. Go to that iHeart app and listen to the podcast, John and Ken, on demand. And you can listen to everything that you might have missed this afternoon. And I was going to say, it's not every day that you have a former president indicted, but it is turning into.
Here we go again.
Maybe every couple of weeks.
This time it's a federal indictment coming from the Department of Justice.
Yeah, the big boys are dumping on Trump here. Trump, 37 charges. 31 counts, violations of the Espionage Act.
Yes, willful retention of national defense information. The pictures are rather stunning. Have you looked at them?
Yes.
Boxes and papers all lying around different places in Mar-a-Lago, including a bathroom?
Lying around his presidential toilet.
Almost like, I figure him in certain ways as kind of a sloppy guy, you know? He looked at it and just dumped it on the floor. I don't know. He was taking a dump, and he just threw it. And
you know, this,
I don't know. Look at that. Yeah, there's a bathroom. There's a whole bunch of boxes lined up against the wall of a bathroom.
Yeah, no, his toilet, and I really don't understand. We'll talk. We're going to talk to somebody in just a second here, but this is pretty clear cut. These laws, you're not supposed to have any of this outside a secure.
But I declassified it.
You know what?
I'm the president.
That's nonsense. I mean, this stuff had...
Apparently he admitted that he didn't in one of the recordings they have of him.
Didn't. He just makes stuff up, obviously. And it's information on U.S. nuclear programs, the vulnerabilities of the U.S. and allies to a military attack, plans for a possible retaliation in response to an attack. Defense and weapons capabilities of the U.S. and foreign countries, foreign nations' nuclear capabilities. This is not stuff you have boxed up around your toilet.
Why did he take this to Florida? I don't understand. Why did he need this? I had read, as a while back when this story first broke, that he might have taken documents with him that were going to help him in case he got charged with something, but I don't really see that in these documents I'm hearing about.
Maybe he's irrational. Maybe he... They're trophies, you know, to show off.
Oh, I see. You're right. Military secrets.
Look what I got. You want to see some nuclear secrets? I got them.
They said, I think he was talking about some of this on the golf course.
Yeah. Oh, no, they have a recording of him bragging about having recordings, something to do with Iran. I mean, this is a lot of trouble he's in.
They even indicted one of his top aides, a man by the name of Walt Noita, who they say lied to the FBI when he said he didn't know anything about these classified documents, but he's the one that a couple of times said to Trump, what did we do with these?
Well, we're going to talk to Lou Shapiro now. And Lou is
criminal defense attorney, Lou Shapiro.
Here in Los Angeles. Lou, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, this looks like heavy stuff here, real stuff.
Well, look, it's definitely heavy stuff. It's hard, like you said, to understand what the idea was, why he took this stuff home. There could be some argument there that maybe a lot of this was mixed in with other stuff and he was working remotely during COVID or shifting around. But it's a lot of boxes and it's a lot of explaining to do, that's for sure.
Did you read the whole indictment?
Yes, I skimmed through it. I can't say I read every word of it, but I went through a good part of it.
It sounds like you have an alarm going off. Everything okay?
Yeah. It's fine. I'm right outside of the courthouse. So you never know what's going on in there.
Okay. Well, you know, people say, Lou, other politicians did this too. It seems like a lot of politicians had classified documents lying around in their home. What makes this so terrible for Trump?
Well, I think it's the sheer volume right away. I mean, you're talking about many boxes of them. The substance of what the classified documents are troubling to many. And it's a combination also of the fact that he was asked for them back very quickly. And there was, it was given in sort of a piecemeal format. Boxes were moved around from point A to B before getting to where it was supposed to go to. That's why the aide was also charged here. So there's a lot of questions as to those facts in the case.
Yeah, I think his lack of complete cooperation is what really aggravated the prosecution, because Pence had documents and turned them over right away. It seems like Biden did the same thing, but Trump was playing some kind of weird game, moving the boxes around. The report I heard of several times said he was trying to get one of his attorneys to go to a hotel and pluck out any documents that would be really embarrassing to have in possession of. I mean, so seems to me that takes the case to another level.
Right. So that's the question, right? Where do we draw the line? Do we draw the line at, well, as long as you gave them back on time, it's okay that you took them and you shouldn't have had them and that would absolve Biden? Or do you draw the line at, no, you shouldn't have it to begin with? And then you have people, a lot of people saying, including DeSantis, just like, well, why does Biden get a pass and Trump doesn't get a pass? Well, if the law is the law, no one's above the law, then why is the line being drawn in a different place than what the law prescribes, right? Because the law says you can't have classified documents when you're no longer president, but we have two individuals who did, only one of which is being prosecuted. Now, albeit one did other things in addition to keeping documents, but that's not what the law says. The law says you can't have them. And that's what I think is causing a lot of division and uproar right now amongst legal analysts on this case.
And now the usual question, he can still run for president, right?
He can still run for president, and he could technically even pardon himself. Another thing you got to think about is...
That's one of those things I've heard many different opinions on. Does it say that explicitly somewhere, or...
The point is, it doesn't say it. He can't. That's the point. Because it doesn't say he can't, yeah, that's where it leaves it open to argument. But DeSantis has already said publicly that this is the DOJ weaponizing, their power for the purpose of politics and so forth. So that's him telegraphing that if he wins the presidency, if he ends up being the front runner against Biden and wins, we're likely to see a pardon from DeSantis to Trump, despite, obviously their back and forth tussles that they have going in the media for political reasons.
And it could be another year before we actually have this in court. Am I right? Because that's the story with the other indictment.
Yeah. So look, Florida is known that this area where the case was filed is known as a rocket docket jurisdiction. Generally, cases get to trial 6 months from arraignment. This is unusual, though. I don't care how much of a rocket docket it is. This is the former president of the United States being federally indicted. He's not going to be rushed to trial. So I think we're definitely going to see this spilling in into the next year.
Well, his law team left. I saw one story that Trump fired them. Another story said, no, we quit. But in any event, they're gone.
I'm sure he's got tons of other lawyers. So
I don't know. His relationship with
lawyers. Trump's been involved in so many legal matters over the years. He's got lawyers up there.
No, I know. But obviously, he's a really difficult client. Have you imagined if you were his lawyer, what you would try to do, not only with this case, but with him?
Yeah, he does seem like on his face like a client who would be difficult to have client control over. The best clients that I have are the ones that listen and trust me, and they oftentimes will get the best outcomes because they do that. The opposite obviously goes a different way. So he would not, doesn't seem like he would be a very easy client to handle.
And finally, what kind of sentence would we be looking at for these federal charges?
I'm glad you're asking that question, because you could have 100 counts. That doesn't mean someone's necessarily facing custody time. The fact that he's a former president and that he has no prior criminal record, the fact that these documents, to what we know now, were not disseminated outwardly, right? Meaning it's not like he shared the contents of these documents to anyone else out there. So where is the harm or damage done to the public? And if that's going to be obviously his defense in the line, even if he is convicted at some point, what damage was done? And when there's not a lot of damage done, there's no victims in terms of out-of-pocket money or government secrets revealed, he's not necessarily looking at custody time. You're going to hear maximum 20 years, 30 years, but realistically, I don't think it's a custody case.
But I'm glad you pointed that out, because I was thinking some of the same things. When you think about politicians, you always think about, oh, bribes and this kind of deep corruption. But I'm saying, all right, so we had a bunch of papers in his house. It just doesn't sound that serious, I think.
Let me ask you this, though. Considering what was on the paper, right? These nuclear programs.
Military secrets,
nuclear capabilities, vulnerabilities of the U.S. militarily. Does the subject of these documents make this case a more serious one? Because, you know, this wasn't menus to a state dinner that he had lying around his toilet. This was the most important documents maybe you could have.
Right. So it definitely makes it what's called aggravating. And that argument goes to why charges were filed, right? That's why they filed it. If it was just the menu, they wouldn't have filed this case. But because of what it had, that's why it was filed. But in terms of the punishment, the harm that was actually done, wasn't much harm. And frankly, he can argue, look, it's not like I saw documents I never was able to see. I had been able to see them when I wasn't president anymore. Right, I couldn't look at them. But all those factors would be taken into account in terms of what a fair outcome would be for the case.
All right. Thanks for
Lou,
coming
thank
on.
You very much. We appreciate talking to you again.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Have a good weekend.
All right. Lou Shapiro, criminal defense attorney on the indictment of President Trump for having these classified documents in his possession. We'll talk more. I got a couple of Trump quotes they say they got recorded in the indictment. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You've tuned in on a special day. It's Friday, so we got the Moistline people. In 2 hours, we get to hear from the audience, all of us together. We do have a hack for the dumpster in the 3 o'clock hour. Of course, the bombshell. A couple hours ago, the indictment against Trump was released for the public to take a look at. It is over 30 felony charges dealing with these classified documents that were in his possession. Most of them at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Here's a story I was looking for. Supposedly, and it was previously reported, it says, July 2021, at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club, he supposedly described and showed a document about a plan of attack that he said was prepared by the Pentagon. It appeared to be a document about a U.S. attack plan off the in the area of Iran that Trump used to try to disparage the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, who he said had drawn up the plan. It also says that in September of 2021, he showed a representative of his political action committee, also at the golf club. This is where Trump, I guess, liked to show off a classified map about an unidentified military operation. He told the representative, I probably shouldn't be showing this.
Hmm. Well, it's to show off what a great and powerful man he was. That's the drive here. That's the motivation.
And because he's out of office, he kept this as souvenir proof?
Yes.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You can't think the way you would think or the way I would think. You have to think like Donald Trump thinks. He's perpetually looking for people to admire him.
Yes.
For people to think he's great and wonderful. And he needs that every single second of his life. He needs adulation. He needs people to know he's the big guy. And so it's become psychotic. This is not like Biden or Pence. That's like the superficial comparison.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading a lot of places. Apparently, even Trump brought that up in some conversation he had.
No, the difference is that he tried to cover everything up, and he tried to get his staff members to lie. And that's the obstruction of justice angle. And that's not what Biden did that we know of yet. That's not what Mike Pence did. The indictment alleges that Trump instructed his closest aide to lie, admitted that some of the documents in his possession were not declassified. He says, isn't it better if there are no documents? I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. I really don't. I don't want you looking through my boxes. What if we just don't respond at all or don't play ball with them? Wouldn't it be better if we just told them we don't have anything here? Wouldn't it look better if we had no documents?
Yeah. That's the cover-up part, right?
Yeah. The Martha Stewart case is always cited, but it wasn't that she wasn't convicted of insider Wall Street trading. She was convicted of lying to the FBI. When you lie to the FBI, or you cover up evidence that the FBI is looking for, or you try to get other people to cover up evidence, just trying to do it, these are all crimes. And we've always talked about when local politicians get federally indicted, whether it's Mark Ridley Thomas or Jose Huizar, you know, any one of these local city council dirtbags. If it's a federal indictment, they're dead. Because the feds don't mess around. This is the NFL. These are Hall of Fame prosecutors. And
look at that. You're extolling government workers.
About the only useful government workers in life are prosecutors. And I know that the Department of Justice is politically compromised and their selective prosecution. I understand all that. But when it comes down to, did Trump do all this stuff? Yeah, he did. And it's a self-inflicted wound. He didn't have to do any of this. He could have left the boxes at the White House. He didn't have to keep them there. He didn't have to show them to people. He didn't have to tell his aides. This stuff really happened. Now, the question is it important enough to put a former president in prison? You know, that's a different debate. But it did happen. And then you read about the contents that are in the documents. Look, if this is Hillary Clinton, everybody would on the Trump side would be squealing that she ought to be locked up. So, you know, if you're going to have this partisan cherry-picking of what's indictable and what's jailable and what's not, just it's always good to reverse the roles here.
Supposedly, according to the indictment, there was a conversation. I guess they got recordings, huh? I don't know how they got these recordings.
Well, because there were two biographers who met with Trump, and they're doing a biography on his chief of staff, Mark Meadow.
Oh, that's right. And Mark Meadows, yeah.
Yeah, so he kind of went off script there because he had a compulsive need to show off what a big guy he was.
Yeah, it says here, Trump and his attorneys were talking about throwing out the bad documents. According to the indictment, Trump made a funny motion as though, well, okay, why don't you take them with you to your hotel room? And if there's anything really bad in there, like, you know, just pluck it out.
And he made a motion with his hand, a plucking motion.
Oh, a plucking
motion. Yeah, like pulling out the documents from the box and tossing them somewhere.
Some of this stuff is incredible. That aide that got indicted too apparently texted Trump and said, oh, I opened the door and I found this. And he sent Trump a picture of the documents all over the floor with visible classified information redacted.
Isn't that amazing, that photo? You could see in some of these photos, top secret marked stamped on the document. Top secret, secret, with all sorts of little coatings.
It makes you think because he didn't think he lost the election that moving this stuff from Washington, D.C. to Florida was done kind of haphazardly and boxes were just dropped all over the place. And I don't know whether or not Trump directed these specific document boxes to go or somebody just grabbed stuff. That's not clear to me either.
I don't know. Also in the prosecution, they pointed out in August 2016, while he was campaigning against Hillary, he said, quote, in my administration, I'm going to enforce all the laws concerning the protection of classified information. In September 2016, we can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of confidential or classified.
Oh.
So he takes away his I didn't know defense. He can't say I didn't know. I didn't mean it. His hands were on the boxes. He was giving people orders to move the boxes. Now, it may have just been his stupid ego. But that is what has undermined him all along, is his stupid ego. And, you know, he broke the law, and now he needs jury nullification is what he needs.
More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Everyone on the iHeartRadio app.
Live everyone.
Did I say everyone?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, live, I was waiting for everywhere. I heard
live
everyone
everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Oh,
well, we want everyone to know that we're live on the
iHeartRadio. We're on the radio 1 till 4, and then after 4 o'clock, go to the iHeart app, John and Ken on Demand, the podcast. To hear what
by now. Let's talk about real, although obviously they haven't made a case about it. Corruption. Surprise me that the El Segundo Times did this story. We don't talk about this guy often, but the Speaker of the California State Assembly is a guy from Lakewood, a Democrat named Anthony Rendon, and he's about to give up that post at the end of the month. Apparently, he's the second longest serving Speaker of the Assembly since Willie Brown. The story is not so much about Rendon. It's about his wife, a woman by the name of Annie Lamb, and how it just so happens that after Rendon became Assembly Speaker, what do you know? Her income soared. Yeah, she's a successful consultant and nonprofit executive who's dedicated her career to diversifying California politics and other institutions of power. I like the way the Times wrote that. That's been her career.
Nonprofit executive.
Yes, we love nonprofits.
You know the nonprofit, what that really is about. I
mean, we've seen the scam work in so many areas of public policy, like homelessness.
It's about taking tax money, trying to shield yourself with a message of, we do good here. We're looking out for the downtrodden, the people who are powerless, the people who are marginalized.
Meanwhile, we're going to make $1 million doing it.
Yeah, they make six and probably seven-figure salaries.
Well, let's go through this. Over the years that he served as speaker, she founded a nonprofit, took on several new clients, and became the executive director of six total organizations that allowed her income to swell. One of her big organizations that she works with as a consultant is the California, the League of California Cities. They paid her business nearly $600,000 over the last year. Tell me that's not connected to her being the wife of the speaker.
Well, yeah.
She'd be just another consultant
if
she didn't have that guy in the bedroom.
Because the assembly speaker controls what bills are voted on.
They're going to tell you, oh, there's no connection.
Well, they're lying.
I did not influence any of this.
Well, because if they admitted it, they'd be going to prison. So they're never going to admit it. They're always going to come up with lame defenses. But the truth is that's the business of politics. If you don't want to give Rendon the check under the table, you give it to the wife, her fake nonprofit. And then
that's your door. She goes home
and says, Anthony, look who gave me money today. And he knows what bills these people are connected to. And he now knows that he has to put those bills up for a vote and that his party has to approve those bills because the wife just got the payoff for it. It is legalized bribery. It's corruption. And of course, they're never going to admit it.
Oh, no. Of course, the statement in the story
she's going to prison.
His wife's employment has never affected his decisions as speaker or how he votes on legislation.
They're lying. Because you know why? Because it's impossible to prove it to get a conviction. You would need a tape recording or something in writing where somebody says, I'm going to give $100,000 to your wife nonprofit. In return, I expect that you are going to pass this bill for me. Well, no one's going to write that. Or we need a letter from Rendon saying, look, if you give $100,000 to my wife's nonprofit, I'll make sure this bill comes up for a vote and it will pass. If you don't have that in writing or you don't have a recording of them agreeing to it, it doesn't have there's no conviction ever. That's why you rarely see these convictions. However, this kind of situation happens all day, every day of the year in every state capital, in the U.S. Capitol. This is what makes the system go. Is these kind of payoffs.
In 2016, the first year he was speaker, he has to file something called Statement of Economic Interest. It showed that his 50% share of his wife's income ranged from $10,000 to $100,000. By 2018, his share had exceeded $100,000, meaning her business was raking in more than $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
It says here it's unclear how much she was making because it only requires you to report an income range. For more than a decade, this woman has contracted with this League of California Cities, or they call it Cal Cities, to provide, you know, mysterious consulting services as executive director to three of their diversity caucuses. Diversity caucuses.
See, and it's always something vague, like consulting.
But it also sounds positive. Oh, yeah, diversity. Sure. Everyone likes diversity,
There's no such thing as diversity consulting, right? That's not a job. That's not a profession. That's not a thing. It's entirely made up. But it makes it bulletproof to criticize.
But aren't these the people that come up with the cockamamie ideas to make all employees undergo diversity training and to expose them to all
sorts? We have that. There's nothing new to come up with. We know their game, okay? You give every employee 2 hours of nonsense propaganda to listen to, and then you do bean counting to make sure that everything is ethnically and racially and sexually balanced. There really isn't any other tricks to it.
Cal Cities is apparently, it lobbies for the interests of hundreds of local governments. That's what that organization does, and she was a consultant for them. Mm-hmm. But I would say it would really help you if you realize this guy just became speaker and you look around, you're like, hey, I guess we could use a consultant to help us with some of our effort. Oh, look at that! The wife of the new speaker is a consultant. Somebody track her down, right?
All of politics.
That ought to give us a nice in.
Everything about politics, most of it is about companies and organizations wanting some kind of favorable advantage from the government, either a law that allows them to make money or government contracts that allow them to make money. That's it. That is the business of the assembly and the state senate, right? It's just, okay, we've got hundreds of billions of dollars in tax money flowing through the system. How can we get our hands on some? Or how can I parcel out some to my buddies in the nonprofit system? Well, for every action, there has to be a payback, right? If you're an assemblyman or a state senator and you are going to sponsor a bill that is going to enrich some business or some nonprofit in some way or give them access to government contracts, you have to get a payoff. Now, you can't get a direct payoff, right? You can't go to a diner and have them put a bag of cash on the counter. You have to do it in a subtle way. And a real great way is to have your dopey wife be some kind of consultant for diversity. And then you get a contract between the company and the wife. And then the company gets a bill passed or the company gets a government contract. And this is standard, ordinary business.
Well, they claim in this story that Rendon's record supporting Cal City's policy is mixed. Sometimes he voted with their stuff. Sometimes he voted against their stuff.
Well, you know,
they also say that this woman has been doing this for decades. How dare you question her now?
See, that's the thing.
But her income really shot up when her husband became speaker. That's more than suspicious.
It doesn't matter if he voted against it. It probably passed every time because you don't bring up a bill unless you know it's going to pass. And then what you do to give yourself plausible deniability is you personally vote against it. But what does it matter? In the assembly, what do they have? They have like a 70% majority, right? So no bill needs Anthony Rendon's vote. So he can occasionally vote against something just to provide cover.
Why would they use the wife to get in the door with him if they don't need his vote?
Because the assembly speaker controls what bills are voted on.
He sets the agenda.
He personally can block them.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, you're going to want to hear the whole show today because we got the Moist Line. It'll be coming your way at about 3:20 and again at 3:50 to end the show. And we are going to throw somebody in the dumpster. It's been a couple of weeks since we brought in the mob members, but we have enough assembled today to help us throw a hack into the dumpster. If you were listening to the show yesterday, and maybe you used the download, the podcast, you heard us talk about a dangerous job in Mexico where there were call center employees who apparently were found, cut up in bags. They were killed by a drug cartel because apparently they wanted to quit their job working as scammers, real estate scammers. They actually were calling Americans and trying to scam them about their timeshares. That was what they were doing at the call center. Believe it or not, the cartels had really expanded their business out to that kind of fraud. The word is they wanted to leave and there's no exit. So instead they got cut up. Now we bring you a story of not exactly the same, but it's also a job you might not want to have, and there can be lots of difficult times. There's a man by the name of Dale Wheatley. He works for the AGA of Illinois, AGA standing for Anatomical Gift Association. Yes, this is about when people give their bodies to science. This is one of the organizations that gets the bodies for research. And Dale Wheatley's job was to perform deliveries. Well, apparently there was a lot of complaints about the way the bodies were being treated. They call them donors. And he was handling the complaints and sort of forwarding them to uppers. And, he says that somebody apparently didn't like it because he came to work the other day and he found severed heads on his desk. He says it looked like something out of a horror movie. The heads were from donors. They were placed next to his desk after he reported these concerns about the mishandling and the poor conditions of the donated bodies to his supervisor. He believes there's a connection. And this was somebody's way of saying, you better shut up.
Shut up. Leave me alone. Go away with your complaints.
He filed a police report after the heads showed up at his desk. Although some are saying because his job was to deliver the body parts, this wouldn't be that unusual that he would have heads.
What, today's shipment?
Somebody gave him the heads and said, well, you have to deliver these to some science center or someplace.
This came through the mailroom this morning.
But here are the complaints, which is whether they're true or not, we don't know. But he goes, the place is deplorable. It's in shabby conditions. If you're in here for more than 5 minutes and you start walking around, you're going to start to stick to the floor.
Oh, that makes sense, though.
The bodily fluids?
Yes. Everything leaks out of the bodies.
But he's saying these bodies are in really bad stages of decomposition and not being preserved very well. And they won't be much use for science if that's true.
You
can't really have a body that's rotting and get much out of it.
Okay, this is a weird business. Don't you think it attracts all kinds of sick weirdos?
The other person to do this?
The people, who work in the business. Don't you think these are weirdos and probably some of them take the bodies home?
Like you feel about undertakers and morgue workers?
Yes, exactly.
What do you mean, take the bodies home?
Everybody's got their kink.
Wow.
Oh, God. Who would do that?
There are websites.
I don't know. John thought of it. That's all I'll say.
No. There are people who are into weird stuff.
Okay, but who's into that?
I don't have a list of names. You hear about it in the news every once in a while.
Yeah, I know. It's very creepy.
These are creepy people.
Wheatley manages what they call the rack room, where the bodies are held at this association. He drives around to medical institutions, and he loads and unloads the body parts.
Okay. All right. What kind
of
guy?
And now he says that sometimes the bodies come to him, and they're covered with flies, or they're distorted in such a way they can't even be used.
What?
He was just trying to say that we need to do better here.
What kind of a guy wants to spend his day unloading dead bodies, and they're rotting and they got flies buzzing around? You could unload anything in life, right? You could unload vegetables. You could unload furniture.
Yeah.
Why would you spend your day?
He considers this to be important work. We could come up with great scientific discoveries if it weren't for these people and their donated bodies and the people that deal. Somebody has to do this so we can come up with scientific breakthroughs. Why would you disparage this profession?
What scientific breakthroughs?
Well,
they're dead.
When they work on, I know, but if they died of a certain cause, they might be able to use specimens to determine treatments and medicines.
Would you want your bodies to be used that way?
What?
I think it's on your license, right?
Yeah.
Where you can, yeah. I mean, I don't care. Yeah.
I wrote in my license, don't touch a thing.
You wrote on it?
Uh-huh. Leave my body alone.
Well, I think that's okay with most of us. There was a handful of donors that recently delivered with their feet and their hands that showed signs of severe decomposition, he wrote. So he's just saying here that maybe we should do better in the way we treat these bodies, so because it seems like nobody cares. And he's right. Thinking they put the heads on his desk as a way of saying, shut up.
Right.
That's all.
Right. He thinks that they should have a scale to weigh the donors' bodies to determine the amount of embalming fluid required so they don't prematurely rot.
I think that's a good suggestion.
You can't do as much scientific
research with a rotted body.
I just question anybody in the business.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. iHeartRadio app. Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.